Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
I'd like to tell you that this has been a really good show, and for once I believe it, because we've had this a really good run of guests here the last few segments. We had Barry Odom on the show at 7:30 talking about Mizzou's win over SEMO and previewing Mizzou, South Carolina on Saturday. And then Gary Lezak was in studio wearing an extremely tight T-shirt. And then at 8:05, we had Carter Stanley, the Kansas quarterback, talking about the big upset win over Boston College on Friday night and previewing their conference opener against West Virginia. And then we just had Howard Richards, who was just terrific, the Mizzou color commentator for Mizzou football, formerly of the Dallas Cowboys, and the CIA, who has agreed to do a full background check on Jake.
Nope.
Which,
nope.
But you don't have to cooperate.
You better check his brakes.
So it's happening right now.
What?
And so Howard Richards is, that was awesome, I thought.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about Barry Odom and the program and everything else. So he was very good. And so now the main event, Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com is in studio. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's like a good weekend for everybody.
It is.
Football-wise around here.
K-State went to Mississippi State and won. Kansas went to Boston College and won. Mizzou won 50-0 and getting ready for South Carolina. And the Chiefs beat the Raiders. I mean, I don't know what else you want. I do. A cornerback. But you, do you feel cleansed now that you took a dump on everyone's hopes and dreams here in Kansas City? Do you feel better that you've let that out?
I always tell people, don't kill the messenger.
Well, you are.
I don't.
You're only a person they got in front of me.
Would you feel better if I let you?
Have you ever seen the movie 300?
No? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
well,
no.
What happened to the messenger?
Let me tell you. Let me tell you this.
We are Sparta.
No, I appreciate that because I don't want to be I don't want to be led on.
It'll be teased.
Just I've never wanted that. Just break up with me. Tell me that you slept with my cousin, and then we can just move on, and I'll be fine with it.
It always comes back to that with you.
Look, hey, maybe it's a hypothetical, maybe it's not. I'm just giving you real-world experience, all right? Clearly, I knew about it, but just go ahead and tell me, and then we can move on, and I'll go to homecoming with somebody else.
See, I'm still more like
what? I'm sorry. We got a little...
So
now
I
we're getting real.
I was going to say, that's,
what happened now?
That was like 10 years ago, Steven.
Well, I don't, I mean, and more she than was, 10.
10, yeah.
It was a while ago.
If it was 10 years ago, I'm really
cousin.
Worried about
oh.
you.
Right.
No?
I'm more
right.
the Lloyd Christmas type. I'm over here going, so you're telling me there's a chance still?
No.
No, there's no chance?
I'm telling you, there's no chance.
There's no chance.
I'm telling you, it was, I was told that the wording was, I phrased the question, are you going to make a run at Jalen Ramsey? The answer I got was probably not. He is, the locker room's too good right now.
Okay, this is the tweet that you sent out. Chiefs source says the team isn't interested in Jags corner Jalen Ramsey now that he wants a trade. Source says the team's locker room is too good right now. The team did ask the Cardinals about Patrick Peterson earlier this year and was emphatically told no. Jake has an example of an emphatic no. Was it this emphatic? I mean, do you think, or is there, did they leave the door open at all?
I think it was like 300 emphatic.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
No. 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 No.
Okay. So we've had Sam Ellinger and Terrez Paylor yesterday both reported that the Chiefs were somewhat aggressive in pursuing Minkah Fitzpatrick. But then last night, Minkah Fitzpatrick goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a first-round pick. Clearly, after their 0-2 start and Ben Roethlisberger being out for the year, their first-round pick is going to be a higher pick than the Chiefs' first-round pick. And so you can see why the Dolphins went with the Steelers there. Although, were you surprised at all after getting the news that Roethlisberger was out for the year, they still went out and traded a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick?
A little bit, but I do believe that a big part of what they want to do is get back to their roots as a team, which is being more defensive-oriented. And you look at the way they're building that team right now, which is a lot of young, athletic guys like Devin Bush, T.J. Watt. Minkah Fitzpatrick fits in well as a – I think he fits better with what they do over there than he would over here. We were talking about that before the show came on, and he is, I don't know if he can play corner at this level outside of being a slot guy for you. I don't think he can go outside and cover people in this league. People, like I said, Danae, people say you can play corner, but then get your butt out there and see what happens.
Right, and so, okay, so Minkah Fitzpatrick, close the book on him. He's with the Steelers. And so before we get into like what you're reporting and who you talk to, just from your vantage point, your opinion, do you think the Chiefs should be pursuing Jalen Ramsey?
Look, for my money, he's the best cornerback in the game right now. It's hard to find a guy with his size, with his speed, with his playmaking ability, who can, by the way, play safety for you if you want him to, because he's big enough and he's smart enough. But, and that's why I inquired about it. I normally, you know, a lot of stuff that happened with the team, it's like you've got beat guys to do that stuff. I'm not, you know, as concerned with the day-to-day minutia, but he's a big-name dude. I was curious, so I made a phone call over there, and that's the word I got back. So I'm surprised they're not making a move on him, but I also understand the rationale behind it too, which is to say, as I've said many times before, the underrated part of this team's success is their team chemistry. That they do have a lot of guys who care about each other, who like each other, and they probably see this as Marcus Peters 2.0.
So I understand that, but I guess some of us that were hoping to see the Chiefs make a move on this, we're kind of thinking that because this locker room is so good and because there is such a clear-cut, established, unquestioned leader on the team now and legitimate head coach, then maybe it would be a little bit like a Patriots-type situation where this locker room could absorb a personality like a Jalen Ramsey without allowing it to poison everybody else. But it doesn't sound like the Chiefs feel that way.
Well, if you felt that way, why not keep Marcus Peters then? I mean, he's the same
type of
player.
He's not as good as Jalen Ramsey?
But he was here, so you don't have to give up anything to have him. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you're going to have to give up the contract.
Can I give
the money?
A couple of those things. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Stephen. Go ahead.
Did they know they were a true Super Bowl contender when they made that Marcus Peters deal? I mean, it's hard for us to go back to think what the mindset was before Patrick Mahomes had become the starter, right? Mm-hmm. And so he wasn't the starter. No one saw 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards coming. Did they think that window of being a real Super Bowl contender was open then? I mean, obviously it is now.
Well, I mean, look, they were, in the AFC Divisional Championship game or Wild Card game? They were in the AFC Divisional Wild Card. AFC Wild Card game the year before. They were in Divisional Round the year before that. So you are you're in the window. You're in the playoffs. So if you think Patrick Mahomes is the guy who can take you over the top, yeah, I think they probably thought, I don't think they saw 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, but I think they saw their team being better with Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback.
One of the things you told us back when they traded Marcus Peters was, though, that they wanted Patrick Mahomes, who was unproven at that point in time, to be able to walk in and have the locker room without any strong personalities that might try to detract from him or make things difficult. So he's done that. Like, this is a completely different situation now, right? Like, last year, we didn't know at this time who Patrick Mahomes was going to be, but now there's, like, he's the MVP. Like, yeah. there's no worry that somebody would come in here and try to take the locker room from him, is there?
I'm not saying it's take the locker room. I'm saying that Jalen Ramsey has made it pretty clear what he wants. And I'm not so certain what he wants is to be a part of a Super Bowl championship team right now. I think when you pull a Brinks truck up to training camp when you report, you're pretty much saying, I want my money. I want to get paid. And so when he's coming here, he's not leaving that at the door and saying, okay, I'm in this great locker room and this team is so wonderful and we're going to win a championship and it's going to be great for me. He's bringing that same point of view, that same baggage with him, which is to say, if I'm not getting paid here, I'm going to be unhappy. And so I do understand that, and I do think that even though Patrick has proven himself to be a really good leader for this team, and they do have a lot of guys in that locker room who are really good leaders, he's still at a point in his career where a guy who is as strong of a personality as Jalen Ramsey could be an issue in that locker room, because if he starts acting up, he starts hitting a coach, he starts getting unhappy about his contract, then, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is one person who would have to answer some questions about that.
So let me ask you a question. Can the Chiefs win the Super Bowl with the group of corners that they have right now?
They play two games. Yeah. And so I'll give them four games. Let me say this. the New England Patriots are the best team in football right now. I think that anybody who thinks they're not is kidding themselves. Do I think the Chiefs can beat the Patriots on any given day? Yeah, I do think that can happen. But I think if they play 10 games right now, Pats would probably win 6 or 7 because of the corner situation. Now, they feel like the Chiefs feel as if they're confident in what they have right now. I think they believe Spagnuolo's schemes, the combination of Frank Clark and Chris Jones up front, the pressure they'll create, the growth they may get from the linebackers, maybe the improved run defense. Maybe they'll have situations that will allow them to not have to rely so much on cornerback play. But we won't know that. The hard thing is we won't know that until they actually start playing really good quarterbacks and really good offenses, right? That's not going to happen until, what, week 6 or 7? I mean, even Lamar Jackson coming in here, there, and they have some things they can do to the Chiefs with their offense, but it's not like having a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers or a Phillip Rivers back there who can really carve you up.
So part of your tweet also indicated that the Chiefs have inquired about Patrick Peterson. That name has been thrown around for a long time. He's suspended for 8 games, right?
6.
6 games. Okay, so if they said emphatically no. Mm-hmm. If the Cardinals continue to lose games up until week 6, will that no remain emphatic? Is that a completely closed book?
There was more optimism about that. The way it was explained to me was, we'll see what happens. You know how these things go in this league. And I saw the Cardinals on Sunday against the Ravens and saw their general manager. And look, they like Patrick Peterson a lot. This isn't just a financial situation or a financial calculation. It is more that they've got a young locker room. There's only so many guys in that locker room who have been around for a long period of time who are good guys like him, like Larry Fitzgerald, like a David Johnson. And so he does offer them leadership right now. You look at their defense, and not a lot of guys over there who have played in this league a long period of time. So they like Patrick Peterson a lot for that. But, yeah, they might get to a point where they say, look, it's not worth it for us to have him here much longer given what he's making, given where he'll be when we actually start winning again. And so he could be in play again. I think they're hopeful of that. But I floated Peterson's name and I floated Xavien Howard's name, which I thought was really a long shot. I don't even know how his name comes up because he just got a new deal in Miami and was told the same thing. It's like, you know, they're not giving him away right now. He's the only guy they're not giving away right now. But
why? Why do they want to hold on to him?
Xavien Howard?
Right.
Because corners who can play man coverage, who have size in this league, are really, they're almost as hard to come by as quarterbacks who can throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns in their first year as a starter. There's probably a handful of guys in this league you can put in that category as being worthy of that level of praise. And he's one of them.
How long is it going to be before they're good?
Well, that's the thing.
They may never be because they have a coach for the Patriots tree, which odds are that means it's going to be a huge failure.
Yeah, I'm not. Look, for the record, and I know that I listen to Seren a lot. He's always talking about the value of tanking in football. And I understand the logic behind it, the idea of getting valuable picks. I've never thought it's a great strategy in football because, one, unlike baseball and basketball, there's way more of a grind involved in football. And so the culture you create is so vital to whatever success you could end up having. And if you end up having a losing culture with guys who don't want to be there, that's hard to undo. And you still have to go out and draft guys. So it's like, if you just because you have first round draft picks doesn't mean you're going to draft well.
What I don't understand is it's like Minka Fitzpatrick isn't a guy in the last year of his contract, isn't a guy that might be good. He's a stud. They nailed the pick last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trading a guy at 22 years old, a pick that they nailed, they got control over for several years, for a maybe.
Yeah, to go draft hopefully another guy like that down the road.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't really – even like the idea of saying you tank to get the top pick in the draft or the second best pick in the draft, it's like Patrick Mahomes was drafted 10th, right? Deshaun Watson went 12th, right? I mean, it's
well, thanks
like,
to the Bears.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky went 2nd. And so just because you have these picks, again, doesn't mean you're – ultimately, you have to go out and build a roster of 53 men. You have to go out and find 22 starters. You have to go out and find a quarterback that you believe in. And if you think that, you know, the downside for Flores and Chris Greer, their GM, is that they're not going to be around. that stuff happens because nobody has a stomach for that. Football, you know, I go out to games this time of year and I'm in different cities, and I know here it's crazy for the potential for this team. Most teams, probably 70% of the league is like that in week two, 100% on week one. Everybody's excited for football. So you're talking about people paying a ton of money for tickets and for parking and for concessions and for putting fantasy teams together and all this buildup, and you're going to go out there and put out a big steaming pile of crap for 16 games. Try doing that for 2 years and see how much your fan base wants to show up and support you after that point. It's really dangerous game to play.
We have Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com in studio. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jeff Chedia. Okay, somebody sent a question for Jeff Chedia and asked, what's the possibility of the Chiefs trading for Kenyon Drake from Miami, considering the running back injuries? I don't think the injuries are considered too serious. LeSean McCoy's MRI came back, I think, pretty clean today, as that was that news has been released in the last hour or so. And so, I mean, I was nervous about it, but...
Now, was that Kenyon Drake sending you that?
Yeah, see, can I please? Yeah, yeah, no, right?
Check the email on that one, the address.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, is that from the text line?
Right. it is.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, it's a Miami area code.
And if you listen to him post-game on Sunday, yeah, this is where I want to be. I want to be here. And then text him, I want to.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, Kenyon Drake to the Chiefs.
Yeah, no, you don't want to be there. I mean, who would want to be in Miami right now with that?
But that's the guy you want, the guy that is saying, I want to be there.
Right.
Like, yeah, there's everybody who wants out of there, right? It's like 90% of the team. Only guy who's happy is Xavier Howard.
They created that, though. They created all that. Once you start letting guys negotiate their own deals and seek trades. And
yeah, it's very, I've never seen it happen in pro football.
Not to this level.
Not to this level.
Like, you see an individual, like one guy here, one guy there. But this is collectively.
Or a veteran who's at the end making big money.
Tony G kind of did that here, right? I mean, he kind of forced his way out once Pioli came in. Yeah. And you know, that's not unheard of. You see it isolated incidents. But this is everybody. Yeah. The whole team.
And Tom Pelissero from NFL Network said LeSean McCoy's MRI showed no significant damage to his ankle, and he has a shot to play in Sunday's game against the Ravens. So. That was the latest.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. It's fine. I mean, no, you know, basically, there's no interest in Kenyon Drake, as far as I know. I think they're fine with their running back situation. They got what besides McCoy, three other guys they can go to. So
McCoy and
Williams, and my man Nate's favorite fantasy draft pick.
Well, if you're talking about protecting Patrick Mahomes, I think there's some reluctance there in pass protection, and that's we talk about, you know, running the football, catching the football, but that is an aspect of playing running back that we overlook many times, and you shouldn't, and they don't.
Look, it's a very scary time for quarterbacks in the NFL when you're talking about Ben Roethlisberger being out for the season, Drew Brees being out for 6 weeks, Nick Foles being out for the season, and you know, this is all part of the game. Guys are going to get hurt, but when you look at the kind of injuries those guys had, and Roethlisberger was more of a freakish thing. It's just more of like he threw the ball and his elbow gave out. But, yeah, the Chiefs were in a lot of long developing plays. The great thing about those plays is when they hit, everybody's excited and happy, and they make for great highlights. But you do expose your quarterback to a lot of potential hits. And I was surprised in that game when I saw the first half and cut it off once they started rolling. But I was surprised at how little pressure – the Raiders did bring. I think a couple of touchdowns, a couple of those long throws, it was like they were just rushing four guys. I doubt you're going to see many teams going forward employing that strategy of defending Patrick Mahomes. I'm just going to go on a limb here and say,
I'm going to ask you this again.
That game plan probably not going to be seen again.
Why do the Chiefs seemingly refuse to invest heavily in corner? What? Why?
Well, I mean, look, every head coach, every GM, any team that has an offensive-minded head coach, they're going to be more biased towards the offense. Any team that has a defensive-minded head coach can be more biased towards the defense, but probably more willing to think about the offense, the overall balance of the team. the irony here is that when Andy Reid was in Philadelphia and had, I think, his best years were his early years there when they went to three NFC Championship games and reached the Super Bowl in the fourth year, they were tremendous in the secondary. They had Troy Vincent, Bobby Taylor at corner. They had Brian Dawkins at safety. They had three Pro Bowl guys back there. Ever since that time, he's kind of moved away from that. They made a couple draft picks, used some high draft picks on some guys after Taylor and Mitzen got older, and Lito Shepard and Sheldon Brown, and that worked out for a while. But I honestly believe that their mindset is with what they have on offense, with who they have at quarterback, with Andy Reid calling the plays, and a really bright staff, that they can work around those kinds of issues. I think they feel like they can score enough points where it's not a problem.
Does the performance of DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman this past weekend against the Raiders call into question whether or not it was necessary to pay Tyreek Hill and sign him to a long-term deal?
I wouldn't go that far just yet, because he is a top 20 player in this league offensively. He is an amazing weapon. The ideal is to have Mahomes reach a point where it doesn't matter who's catching the passes, and that's where Aaron Rodgers is, that's where Tom Brady is. But it's still a lot to ask of your young quarterback to take away one of his favorite weapons at this stage of his career. As good as Robinson played, and I was happy for him, he's done a lot of good stuff here, and I think he's I know you've been high on him for a long time, Steven, and saw hope for him to break out, have a game like this. So, you know, I'm sure you were happy to see that too.
I was, because he's like Andy Reid described, he does all the little things. He's a good blocker. Like
Albert Wilson type guy.
Yeah, and he's accepted his role, and he got his number called, and he produced. And that's, you like to see players like that rewarded.
Yeah, yeah. But again, it's, I don't know how good of a game plan the Raiders had in that second quarter. I'm going to go out on another limb here and say maybe their talent wasn't so good, especially since their first-round pick at safety is out for the season now, and that they'll face tougher defenses. I don't see him having those kind of games week in and week out as long as Tyreek Hill's out. But I do think that a lot of their success early in the year typically comes down to quarterbacks obviously playing at a high level, but Andy is a master at scheming up stuff early in the season. I think you get DeMarcus Robinson into a game in a situation in December, and he's playing against the Patriots, I think it's a different story.
Some news is Daniel Jones has been named starting quarterback for the New York Giants, and so Eli Manning now relegated to the bench. And I personally wouldn't, but so, I mean, we're talking about how quarterbacks are dropping like flies. If you're one of these teams that lost a quarterback, would you be interested in Eli Manning? He's owed $10.1 million for the rest of the season. It's not terrible for a team that might need a quarterback.
His old boss is down there in Jacksonville. That was being discussed beforehand.
Tom Coughlin. But, would you?
Yeah, why not? I would do it. I mean, it's,
if you're Eli, would you? I mean, you want to go into that?
I don't know. I don't think it's, aside from Jalen Ramsey, I think everybody else down there
still going to make your 10 mil, whether you're holding a clipboard or whether you're going down and messing with all those people down in Jacksonville.
Yeah, but I think Eli's also competitive, too.
Yeah, do you want to play or not?
Yeah, do you want to sit on the bench on a bad team? You have a chance to still go out and play and contribute and see what you can do? I mean, his brother went to a different place when his career was supposedly done. I'm sure Eli probably feels as if he's got some football left, and does he want to spend the rest of his days, like you said, sitting on the bench just watching Daniel Jones grow, or does he want to move on? I tell you what, if I'm the Giants and someone calls and says, hey, do you want such and such for Eli Manning? Yep. I'm goodbye.
Yep. The answer is yes.
Well, I mean, yeah, if that's if you're not letting Jones develop on your bench and let him, because this season is, I mean, that's basically waving the white flag. Like, we're done. Two games in, we're giving up.
Yeah.
I mean, Eli Manning's not that good. What if Daniel Jones is just better than him?
I don't know. I think he's,
is it a white flag, or they have a better chance now of actually winning games?
I don't think that the problem with this Giants team is their quarterback. I don't think their quarterback play is the problem. The offensive line can't keep their quarterback upright, and Eli has zero time to throw, and so you're going to throw a rookie into that situation.
Yeah, and they've reached a point, too, where they feel like, look, he's not going to be here when we start getting good again. So what's the point anyway? They wanted to do it a couple years ago and ended up blowing up in their face. And they got a little bit leery of ticking off the hometown faithful, and they just went back to him. But he's not going to ever be the quarterback he was there again. So why not move forward?
Yeah, he has not been great the last few years. I mean, you could maybe the supporting cast hasn't been terrific around him and all that, but they do have a really good running game right now, and he just hasn't been great.
Well, I'd say he's never been great.
Yeah,
as a quarterback, I mean, he's going to go into the Hall of Fame because he's won two Super Bowls and he's got the right last name. But he's never been a great quarterback. He's been a really good quarterback at times, and he's been a really mediocre quarterback at times.
I wonder how many Hall of Fame quarterbacks have a 500 record. He's 116 and 116 in his career.
I would probably guess zero.
So he could maybe be the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at his numbers over the course of his career, he's only had maybe two or three seasons over whatever, 15 years, 16 years, where you're like, wow, he really was playing at a high level and one of the best quarterbacks in the game. Most times he's been, you know, in that 10 to 15 range.
Joe Namath is one game under 500 in his career.
Okay.
Before we get into the Chiefs, get your reaction to Drew Brees being out for several weeks with a torn ligament in his thumb and Ben Roethlisberger being out for the year with elbow surgery.
Well, it just speaks to, again, it speaks to how dangerous this game is, how delicate it is. You know, it's sad to see because those are two great quarterbacks, two teams that I really enjoy watching play. The Steelers have to look at it like, well, I guess we're going to be shutting it down now, even with Mason Rudolph came in and played well for them, and they're talking a good game. But right now you're 0-2, and you're relying on a backup quarterback to get you through. The Ravens right now can run away with that division. And so I really feel bad for them because I was really high on the Steelers coming in, like what they had. But the first two games, they're missing Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, and now you take away your quarterback. I just don't see how offensively they can really keep up. And for the Saints, it's not as – a dire of a situation because Brees will be back, and Bridgewater did not look great in the time he played against the Rams. But that's a tougher situation only because the NFC is so strong. I was high on the Cowboys right now. The Cowboys are the best team in the NFC in my mind. And so you got them, you got the Eagles, the Bears will figure things out, the Packers are rolling,
the Rams,
the Seahawks look good, the Niners look really good. You know, right now, the Saints are lucky that the Panthers, for whatever reason, are struggling. The Falcons are up and down. The Bucs aren't a threat. So they're in a division
for
where
they can
tread water.
Cam Newton.
Is there something wrong with him still, physically, you think?
Well, I suspect that foot injury was probably more than what we were led on to believe it was. And I think he's going through a transition right now where he's trying to be more of a get the ball out quick, let my playmakers do all the hard work. He's 30 years old. He's been taking a lot of beating. I think he's aware of after that shoulder injury last year. I talked to Ron Rivera about this, his head coach. He said, look, he's at the point where he realizes he can't keep playing that way if he wants to play a long period of time. So he's trying to be more of that, more stereotypical quarterback. Problem is, it's not his strength. And when your feet are screwed up, when you're coming back from a shoulder injury, you know, your mechanics can get kind of weird. His accuracy issues, I think, trace back to that. So I think over time he'll be better. But at 0-2, when your first two games are at home, it's not a good start.
Okay, so if you think the Patriots are the number one team in the AFC and the Chiefs are number two, are the Ravens number three?
Right now they're number three. I still think the Chargers are a better team, but they're not playing as well.
How about those Lions? How about them Lions?
Yeah.
Your Lions.
Yeah, they had some bark in them, some fight, huh?
Hey, Detroit beat the Chargers, and I ain't lying.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'll say this. I didn't see that one coming. There were some shaky calls in that game.
Philip Rivers.
There were some shaky calls in that game, and they ended up taking a beating, lost a couple players along the way. So it's a tough loss for them. But, yeah, I would say the Ravens are the best team right now. Having watched them play and watching the way they're using Lamar Jackson, they're going to create a lot of problems for people. And it's tough to defend. We saw him last year. The guy that was here last year is not the same guy who's coming here this year. This guy who's coming this year is way more confident, way more prepared, better at throwing the football, more comfortable in the system. You know, they run so many different formations. They use the tight end so effectively. That's Marquise Brown. I'm telling you, if he's not as fast as Tyreek Hill, he's close. This dude can fly. And he's about 170, 181, maybe 175 at the most. But they start play actioning, and he starts taking off down the field, and it's hard to keep up with him. And I say Lamar Jackson's a better passer because they were facing a 3rd and 11 late in that game, about 3 minutes to go, and they were leading by 6, and they had to make a play from their own 44 to hold on to the football and in the game. And he dropped back and hit Marquise Brown on a 41-yard throw down the sideline that was on the money because the guy was covering him, was right there, you know, step for step with the kid. And he put it right there. So I was just like, all right, well, he's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive right now what he's doing.
No, he's been terrific. We've got Jeff Chedia in studio. We'll be right back after this with more on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, let's take a look at the games of interest this weekend. Let's start off with the Chiefs and the Ravens. You saw the Ravens up close. You saw Lamar Jackson up close dropping dimes.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, running for 120 yards, he has been terrific the first two games. But this will be the best team that they face. They face the Dolphins and the Cardinals. And this will be the best team that the Chiefs have faced as well after facing the Jags and the Raiders. Feels like a big showdown that will have many chapters over the years. This is already chapter two, and the first one was just terrific. So what's going to happen on Sunday, Ravens at Chiefs?
Oh, well, Chiefs, I think, are going to win the game.
That's right.
They're the better team. But I don't think it's going to be easy by any stretch. It's not going to be anything close to what they've gone through the first two games where they've been able to coast. They've got a great scheme with Lamar Jackson. What I love about what he does is that even though he's super talented, amazingly fast, he played with so much restraint. You know, like guys who are usually that fast or that that young, they want to make so many plays and do all this stuff. And he's able to, you know, run that option, turn the corner, get 7 yards, get down, come back, hit his tight end for 12 yards. So the whole key to this game is going to be time of possession because the Chiefs will not have as much of it as they've had in the first two games. That last game that the Ravens played, they were about 35 minutes time of possession. They can control the clock. And so the Chiefs have to be as efficient as they were in previous games as far as scoring quickly. But the good news for them is that the Ravens' defense is not as good as it was last year.
That's right.
So you saw Kyler Murray hitting some big plays down the field. You saw some miscommunication in the secondary. They didn't have the same kind of pressure. So there'll be some opportunities there, which is why I think Kansas City will win.
And you mentioned found his tight end Mark Andrews.
That guy's good.
Hey, look, whoever
they had three of them too.
But whoever drafted this Mark Andrews on their fantasy football team is a damn genius, is what I say. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Who could that be?
Started him week two, but
so I will
admit.
That'd
be you.
Okay. How did you know? Hey, all right then. Okay,
I'm getting by me over here.
Guilty as charged. Yes. Sorry about that, Dan.
I'll admit that I've put my hand up as one of the skeptics about Lamar Jackson last year because we never seen a running quarterback run the ball as often. I mean, he's running the ball 15 times a game or more as a starter last year. Now, week one against the Dolphins, he only ran it 3 times, but then last week he ran it 13 times. But I was listening to some scouts talking about it, that a lot of times when running quarterbacks have come into the league, teams have made the mistake of trying to force the square peg into a round hole and turn him into a pocket passer. And they were kind of lavishing praise on the Ravens for not doing that, for saying, okay, this is what you are. Go ahead and be that. So is it sustainable? Will he evolve? Kind of like you talked about the struggles that Cam Newton's had of realizing after a while, I can't keep this up, or do they just ride this as long as they can and let him take the punishment of running the ball that many times? How do you think this thing plays out?
Well, he's going to have to evolve over time for the same reason as you mentioned with Cam Newton and Robert Griffin III when he was in Washington. You saw what happened to his career, start taking a beating when he started running that option a little too much. And Colin Kaepernick, once he started getting banged up and started having to throw the football more, he couldn't make the plays. And so I do believe that Lamar Jackson is in that category. Like, he's going to have to mature into a better passer. The good thing is right now they're giving him confidence. And what they're doing schematically is there are a lot of concepts that Andy Reid uses in his offense as far as misdirection. I mean, they're really good at getting defenders to look one way and go another way. They ran a play, their first touchdown pass to Mark Andrews. They caught the Cardinals in a cover two. Lamar Jackson fakes the handoff, rolls to his right a little bit. They've got Marquise Brown running some motion. The cornerback looks at him. All of a sudden, Mark Andrews goes right up the sideline, 27-yard touchdown pass. So that's what the Chiefs are going to have to deal with, is just having to – and it's really hard to prepare for that kind of stuff. You don't have you don't see it all the time. It's like playing against the wishbone or against the option in college. If you don't see it all the time, you don't practice against it, and you don't really have opportunities to hit, which is a key part of defending it, it's hard to stop it.
What's the score going to be?
I think it'll be – I think Chiefs 31-28.
Here's a good one. You like the Dolphins' chances at the Cowboys?
Is that right?
Sorry, no. I'm gonna pass that. You know what? I'm taking Dallas.
Go pick up the Cowboys' defense.
Yeah, done. Already done and yeah. In place.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Broncos play at the Packers, and this is a good opportunity for the Broncos to go 0-3, which I like a lot. The Packers defense, it's getting a lot of hype now. Is this real? Is this a real thing?
They're good defensively, and their name's been thrown around as far as the Jalen Ramsey destination. Ooh. Because they're pretty. They got that Jair Alexander, who's a pretty good corner. They upgraded their safety situation. They brought in a couple guy linebackers. One from DC, one from the Ravens, one from the Redskins. And look, Mike Pettine is a really good defensive coordinator. And he's had a lot of success wherever he's been as a defensive coordinator. Not so much as a head coach, but they've got a pretty good scheme going there. And I like what they're doing. So, yeah, I think they're legit.
Falcons at Colts.
Ooh, I'll take the Colts. I don't believe in the Falcons just yet.
So the Bills could go to 3-0 if they get a home win against the Bengals.
Bills Mafia.
Who are not great.
That's a good D too.
It is.
Bills.
So, if the Bills go to 3-0, will be people be jumping on the hype train for the Bills?
People would be jumping through tables that are on fire.
I won't go just there yet, but yeah, they look nice start to their season. That they're playing where they have to play to win games, but I think after this game, they're probably going to end up winning three or four more games the rest of the year. So
okay,
I wouldn't bet on that.
Here's a good one: Texans at Chargers.
Chargers.
Come on.
Chargers. I think they'll be salty after that loss in Detroit and the way some of those calls went. And Austin Eckler fumbling on the sideline. I think that they will. And they had a longer touchdown run by Justin Jackson, brought back two in that game. They had two touchdowns that were negated by just stupidity.
Sunday Night Football, Rams at Browns. The Browns won last night, but the Jets are horrible.
Rams are looking just as good as they looked last year. And the Browns, that game last night was almost unwatchable.
Oh, it was terrible.
Terrible.
I'm sitting there like, is there playing football here? Is this like like some kind of symphony playing in the back? It's just like it was so boring.
Luke
there
Falk was
no buzz. God, it was awful.
What's going on with Baker Mayfield, though? I didn't think he looked good at all yesterday.
Again, I think the way they're running their offense, it's almost as if they're trying to hit home runs all the time, and they haven't really settled into a nice rhythm offensively. I mean, Odell Beckham had a big game last night, but I agree with you that I think more teams have got a read on him and what he does well, what he doesn't do well, and it's almost like he's trying to drop back and make big plays every time he's under center.
Raiders at Vikings.
Vikings.
Mm-hmm. I know. I just wanted you to say it.
Yeah.
31-28 is what you say.
31-28.
All right.
31-28.
Here goes Jake on the cell phone.
So the Chiefs, it sounds like the Chiefs are not adding a corner. If you had to put your money on the rest of the season.
I would say if they add a corner, and I think it's a long shot, it would be Patrick Peterson. I think that they will keep knocking on that door and see if it opens up. Right now the door's closed. But it's not going to be the guy in Jacksonville. I can tell you that right now.
Man. Damn you, Jeff.
And I just saw a report saying that the trade could happen this week. Mm-hmm. They're pretty fast, so.
But not to Kansas City.
They are not interested.
They want to get him out of there quick.
Yeah.
I mean, after that shenanigans of last weekend, that's.
Well, you know else is going out of there quick? Doug Marrone. right at the door. They're going to be getting the movie bands together at the same time. Different reasons.
Jeff Chedia from NFL.com and NFL Network. Have a great week, man.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Chiefs Ravens.
Oh, there you go. Game of the week.
Right here in Kansas City
at Arrowhead. Jeff Chedia in the house. Everyone have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.